Jesus is without a doubt the most loving person ever to walk the face of this earth. And I make that claim with absolute confidence. The four Gospels that we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are jam-packed with examples of his genuine love for others. And this morning we've been reminded of how he patiently explained the good news to Nicodemus, and now how he graciously healed this man who was born blind. And we could probably think of some other stories that reveal his heart of love. When he fed the 5,000, when he forgave the woman caught in adultery, when he raised Lazarus and many others from the dead, when he cast out unclean spirits, when he taught the scriptures with clarity and with conviction, when he had compassion on the crowds because it says they were harassed and they were helpless, they were as sheep without a shepherd, and on we could go. Jesus, friends, Jesus lived a life of love like no one before and no one since. But I don't want us to miss the fact in all of that that Jesus' greatest expression of love was in his death. It was in his death. A medieval monk announced to his congregation that he would be preaching next Sunday evening on the love of God. And as the people gathered and the shadows fell and light ceased to come in through the cathedral, he lit a candle and he carried it to the crucifix. And first of all, he shined the light on the crown of thorns, and next on the two wounded hands, and then on the spear wound at Jesus' side. And in the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and he left the platform in silence. Nothing else needed to be said. The sermon had been preached. Friends, the cross is the clearest and most compelling demonstration of God's amazing love through his Son. Just listen to these words from 1 John chapter 4. It says that God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The cross is God's love in HD. It's bold and it's brilliant. It's the clearest and most compelling demonstration of Jesus' extravagant love for us. And you may say, well, how exactly does that work? And I'd like for us in just a few moments that we have to consider this together, three ways that the cross demonstrates the magnitude of Jesus' love for us. Here's the first one. The magnitude of Christ's love is demonstrated by how much it cost him. I think we all intuitively understand that there's a direct correlation between the degree of a person's sacrifice and the depth of his or her love. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. As the saying goes, talk is cheap and actions speak louder than words. And so I ask my own self, how far would I be willing to go? What personal price would I be willing to pay to prove my love for someone? Let me tell you, Jesus Christ went all the way. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price to demonstrate his love for us. It cost him absolutely everything. I want to read you a couple of verses from Philippians 2. Paul says, Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I don't want you to miss what this passage is saying. Jesus was God. He possessed all of the honor, all of the glory, all of the power that goes along with being God, and he had every right to hold on very tightly to those privileges of heaven. But instead, as we read, Jesus willingly suffered the indignity of becoming an ordinary human like you and me. Not a person of fame, not a person of fortune, an ordinary human. More than even that, he lived as a selfless servant, always seeking the good of others before himself. And his humble devotion to his heavenly Father ultimately led him to sacrifice his very life. And not just in any ordinary way. It wasn't just any ordinary death. Jesus was crucified on an old rugged cross, the most disgraceful and the most excruciating form of capital punishment in that era. And we've seen some glimpses this morning of what that was like, but thankfully we've been shielded from the full extent of the horrors. And if all of that wasn't enough, in addition to all of the physical torment and the sacrificing of himself, while he was on the cross, Jesus endured the spiritual separation from his Father because of the sins of the world had been placed upon his shoulders. Remember, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? To sum it all up, Jesus left the highest of highs for the lowest of lows. The cross cost him absolutely everything. Why would he do that? Because of his great love for you and for me. And the Apostle Peter emphasizes this same point when he writes these beautiful words. He says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. You were bought, but not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Our ransom, our rescue cost far more than money could ever buy. Its price was the precious blood of Jesus. And so, friends, the magnitude of Christ's love is revealed first by how much it cost him. How much it cost him. But second, it's revealed by how little we deserve it. How little we deserve it. In fact, I'm actually being overly generous with my words because we don't even deserve it even a little. It doesn't add up. It doesn't compute it. It doesn't make any sense. And that's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5. He says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Ephesians 2, Paul puts it this way. He says, God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. The point is this. Jesus revealed the magnitude of his love by loving us even when we didn't deserve it. And those passages that I read use some phrases that speak to just how undeserving we actually are. They talk about us as the ungodly and sinners and dead in trespasses. And I don't know about you, but those aren't words that I use in everyday conversation to describe myself. But they communicate some very important things. They communicate the idea of us having no respect for God, of us choosing to reject his ways and failing to meet his standards and pursuing our own self-centered interests and finding ourselves trapped in a way of life that's headed nowhere. That's really what Paul was saying. And to be absolutely blunt, what our attitudes and our actions rightly deserved was eternal punishment. The Bible teaches that sin has a penalty, and what we warranted was an outpouring of God's wrath, not of his blessing, not of his love. But that's precisely when Christ demonstrated the magnitude of his love for us, when we least deserved it. My observation is that for the most part, we take this truth for granted. We almost presume upon God's mercy and grace. We begin to think that maybe somehow we do deserve the love of Christ. We'd never say that. We'd never put that into words, but it's how we live. And maybe you're on that program this morning. Can I tell you there is tremendous freedom? Oh, there's tremendous freedom in acknowledging our complete lack of merit before Christ. We deserve nothing but separation from God because of our sinfulness. But that stark reality simply shines the spotlight on Jesus and his sacrificial death. The magnitude of Christ's love is revealed by how little we deserve it. By how much it cost him, and by how little we deserve it. And third, the magnitude of Christ's love is revealed by how much we benefit from it. By how much we benefit from it. Just think about it. Jesus gave everything when we deserve nothing, and now we receive everything. His sacrifice, in spite of our sinfulness, brings us satisfaction. How great is the love of Christ? How great is the love of our Savior? Just reflect with me for just a moment on some of the many blessings that flow into our lives because of the cross of love. We were enemies of God, but now we've been reconciled. We have a restored relationship with our Father. Once we were enslaved by sin, but now its power has been broken and we can choose to do what's right. We were spiritual orphans, but now we're a part of God's great big family with many brothers and sisters and a few weird cousins thrown in too. We have the moment-by-moment presence of God that brings comfort in times of trouble. We possess character qualities that the Bible refers to as fruit of the Spirit. And we possess spiritual abilities that Scripture calls spiritual gifts that enrich our lives and enrich the lives of others. We have purpose. We have direction for daily living. We have the promise of abundant life. That's life that's rich and full here and now. And we look forward with confident hope and tremendous anticipation to an eternal future with God when this life is through. I could go on and on. And these are but a few of the many blessings that come to us because of the cross. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The cross is the clearest and most compelling demonstration of Jesus' extravagant love for us. And the magnitude of that love is revealed by how much it cost him and by how little we deserve it and by how much we benefit from it. And I want you to let those truths sink deep into your heart, into your mind. I want you to just to allow them to wash over you. And I'm going to come back in just a few moments and help us to respond to what we've just heard. But for now, I want you to just to bask in the victory of the cross.